If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 8. Genesis, chapter 8, and I'm going to give you this little thought. I'll not be long before you today. If you're able to stand, let's stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Genesis, chapter 8. Matter of fact, I may read just a few verses in the last part of chapter 7. Genesis, chapter 7, and verse 21, and then I'll read in chapter 8. Genesis chapter 7 and verse number 21, the story, as I've already mentioned this morning about the song the Lord gave me. I actually was driving to revival meeting one night in Burnsville, North Carolina. It's about a close to a two-hour drive. And this message, I'd preached it at the church, and God had really been, my heart had been really meditating upon this thought. And as I drove that night to preach this message, God gave me that song that we sang this morning. And I'm going to preach the message this morning, hopefully, and God will help you with it. Genesis chapter 7, verse 21. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both of man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowl of heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Now verse 1 of chapter 8. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. Now skip, if you will, to verse number 13. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, was the earth dried. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wives and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Father, we thank you today for the reading of your word. And Lord, I pray today that you'd help me and enable me in this place. Lord, by your spirit, that I might preach this message. And Lord, that it might find a lodging place in the hearts of your people today. God, I pray today that you'd touch every life that's in this building. Lord, help us to have hearing ears and receptive hearts. And Lord, may we find ourselves and find our place in the message. God, I pray today that you'd do that only you can do in this place. Lord, if there's one here that's unsaved, I pray that today, God, would you save them by your marvelous grace. And Lord, we'll thank you for all you do. Thank you for all you're going to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we ask it. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Here in the Word of God, we have the very familiar story of Noah and the ark. Every one of us, from the time we were just children, grew up hearing the story of Noah and the ark. I'm afraid sometimes we hear these stories so many times from the Bible, even as a child growing up, you begin to think about Noah and what he did on the ark. And sometimes we get the idea that Noah was just a happy little man that loved animals, when all the while, that really, if you read the story and study and think about and meditate upon what Noah and his family went through, there's nobody in this building that would want to have to go through what this family did. The Bible said that, of course, the earth was filled with wickedness, and God decided He was going to judge the earth and judge mankind. And the Bible tells us that God sent the judgment waters of the flood upon the earth and eradicated and wiped the slate clean, if you will, on this planet. I don't know about you, but I have to think about Noah and his family. If you study the story of the ark, you know that Noah and his family, we all know about the 40 days and 40 nights of rain. But most people don't think about the fact that they were on board this ark a little over a year. 370 days, I believe it was, that Noah and his family was on the ark. Now, I don't know about you. Just being shut up with your family in a small, confined quarter for a year would be enough to go through. I love my family, but how would you like to be shut up in a barn with your family? I'm talking about all the animal. It's not a pleasant thing that they're going through. Can you imagine as Noah and his family are in the ark and they hear the rain begin to descend, and all of those people that they tried to warn on the outside, no doubt they might be able to hear the voices and the cries of those saying, "Open the door, let us in." But the fact of the matter is, everybody that Noah knew is now going to die in the judgment waters of God. But here's the scene. The Bible said that we see the ruin of the world in chapter 7, but we see in chapter 8, verse number 1, that God remembered Noah. Now, can you imagine being on that ark for almost a year? And everything, you're wondering, has God forgot where we're at? And all of a sudden the Bible said God remembered Noah. And the Bible said He began to speak to Noah again. I'm glad today, I don't care what you've been through, how long it's been. I don't know how bad the storm is that you've been in. But I'm glad there's a God that will remember you. Hallelujah. And the Bible said God sent a wind and the waters assuaged. That word assuaged there means a soft wind. Can I say to you, when you've been through the most epic storm ever known to humanity, it sure is good when God sends a gentle breeze your way. I don't know if you ever thought about it, but here's the scene. The Bible said God told Noah, said, "Get off the ark. It's time to get off." And when he did, the Bible said Noah went about. Can you imagine this? Now, I don't know. In my mind, I've tried to think about Noah don't know where he's at. He don't really even know what faces him in the future. The world that he knew is gone. And when he gets off of the boat, can you imagine Noah and his family thinking, where in the world do we begin to start all over again? And the Bible said Noah began to do some things. He got the animals off the ark. And then the Bible said Noah builded an altar unto the Lord. And he offered a sacrifice. And then here's where I really want to get to in this. The Bible said the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said some things in his heart. He began to say some things. He said, well, since this has happened, he said, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to destroy man like I've done this time. He said, I'm not going to do that ever again by water. He said, and I'm going to put something in the laws of nature. He said, I'm establishing a principle right now. He said, as long as the earth remains, as long as this old mud ball is here, he said, there's going to be seed time and there's going to be harvest. He said, there's going to be hot and there's going to be cold. He said, there's going to be day and there's going to be night. Let me tell you something right now. I don't care what the global warming people say. I don't care what some of them may have to say. People say, well, you can't deny science. I can't deny God's Word. And God said that as long
as the earth remains, there's some things that are going to happen and ain't nobody going to change it. He said seed time and harvest. I thought about that. Here is a scene in the Word of God. If there's ever a place that needed revival, it was the world that Noah got off the ark to. If I ask you today to name great revivals in history you've read about, some of you might go back and say, well, I've read about the great Welsh revival and the great move of God, and truly, that was a great revival. Some of you might say, well, the day of Pentecost was a pretty good move of God, and certainly it was. Some might even say in our country here, the Great Awakening, when Jonathan Edwards preached the great message, sinners in the hands of an angry God. I was blessed to be able to stand last year in the very spot. They've got a little marker beside the highway where Jonathan Edwards preached that great message, sinners in the hands of an angry God. And I thought about what it must have been like that day as he preached and God birthed a great awakening in America. And you might even talk about revivals you've seen in days gone by as a little boy or a little girl when it used to go for weeks at a time and multitudes would get saved and that'd be a great revival. But as I looked at the Word of God, I began to look at this. I said right here in this story is the greatest revival that the world has ever known. I'm talking about in the laws of nature. God put a principle. It may come that it's a cold, dark winter. And everything dies out. And sometimes it looks so bleak like it'll never change. But can I say to you, God put a principle. Because God's very nature is one of revival. Some of you may be sitting here and say, preacher, can our nation have revival? Can we as God's people have revival? As long as the God of revival is on the throne, you better believe, praise God, we can still have revival. I'm preaching on this subject today on the promise of revival. Springtime's a coming. Hallelujah. I don't know about you where you're at. Praise God. You may be in a dark winter today. You may be in a time it seems like nothing can happen. But I'm glad to tell you that we serve a God that is a God of revival. Amen. Earlier this year when the spring started, a poem. It gets pretty bleak up in the mountains, preacher. Back in them hollers, it gets awful dark. All the leaves fall off the trees. And man, I tell you, it looks like man's so barren and so bad. But there's a funny thing that happens about a certain time every year. And it happens without the prompting of man. I mean, I didn't go out one day in my front yard and say, now I'll tell you what, I'm going to do my best to see if you have revival. I didn't do anything. Now you say, preacher, I put fertilizer on my yard. That'll help you, but that'll just cause you to mow yourself to death. Amen. I don't want to buy fertilizer. I want to buy some goats to put in mine. Amen. Let them eat it down. But I thought about, can you imagine? I mean, in the springtime, all of a sudden, everything's bleak and barren and dry, and it don't look like nothing will happen. Then all of a sudden, there'll be a little sprig on a tree sprout out. Next thing you know, there's a flower that's bursting forth out of the ground. You know why it happens like that? Because we're serving a God whose very nature is one of revival. Amen. I know we're living in bad times. I know we're living in bleak times. And everybody says, well, it's getting worse and worse and worse. Yeah, but I'm here to tell you, there's a God that's willing to send revival to His people if we'll desire it. Hallelujah. There's some things I saw in this story that I think you'll find when you find revival breaking forth. Number one, you'll find the dedication of the believer. The Bible said Noah's been on board the ark. No doubt they've all had their chores on the ark for a year. They've been in a routine. They've been going through. Everybody's been taking care of their section. And the boys have been taking, no doubt, their wives. And everybody's had a responsibility with all the animals on the ark. But now comes a time that God's changing everything. He said, all right, it's time to get off the ark. I don't know about you and if your family's like mine, but no doubt in their mind they're thinking, making plans. What are we going to do when we get out of this boat? I mean, what are we? They didn't just wait till the door flung open and then make plans. I don't know if that's the way you do things or not, but no doubt in their mind, Noah's wife may have said, "Honey, have you thought about what's going to happen when the door opens? I mean, we don't know where we're at. We don't know what we're facing. Everybody we knew is dead. Everybody's gone. All the animal, all we got's what's on the boat here. What are we going to do when we get off here?" It'd be a natural reaction of a wife to say, "Noah, honey, do you think we ought to build us a little house, or maybe build us a little hut, or maybe just a place of shelter? We're in a new world. We don't have any place. Do you think we ought to build a pen for some of these animals? We're going to need them to sustain us in the new world." And I could imagine Noah said, "Honey, we're going to have to build all that we are." But I could see this as Noah got off the ark. He said, "But I'll tell you what I'm going to build first." He said, "Houses, we need a house. We need some pens for these animals. We need some things in our life. But when we get off starting in a new world that needs revival," he said, "what I'm going to do is build us an altar, honey. I'm going to build us a place where a little puny man can approach a holy God." Hallelujah to His name. I don't know about you, but if we see revival today, it's got to start at an altar. Amen. It's got to start at a place where man approaches a holy God. I don't know about you. Thank God. I'm glad when we build an altar in our life, I'm glad God will send revival. Amen. We're living in the culture today. We're building houses.
Yes, sir.
We're seeking all those things, but we've got God in His wrong place. God's really been speaking my heart here lately, preacher, about drawing people's focus back to prayer. And when God laid on my heart to build that old rock prayer altar there next to the creek, I didn't even tell the church what we was doing. Now, I know that's strange. You got a strange preacher here, though, so y'all are used to stuff like that. I had an old boy in the church. He got saved. The old boy, he was a lifelong Roman Catholic. God brought him there and saved him, and he just wanted to do something for God. The old boy was a scientist. He developed drugs to bring to the marketplace, and his brilliant mind, when he got wind, I wanted to build that altar. He said, "Preacher, let me help you." And he said, "We'll design something. We'll look at something. We'll do some research." And I said, "Man," I said, "you do what you want to." And he came back, and next thing I know, we had that thing up. And man, people, is that flock? The first Sunday we walked out there, I said, "We're going out to the prayer altar right between Sunday school and 11 o'clock hour." I said, "Anybody wants to go?" And I looked up, and man, everybody in the church got up and walked out with me. I mean, it's a good fur piece out there to the rock altar from our church. But I looked at that scene of those people walking out through that field. I'm talking about that beauty. If you'd have to see the place where we're at. I mean, I'm telling you what, y'all got a beautiful place here. But we got some natural beauty that man can't build. And I saw them people walking out through there on a Sunday morning. The sun is shining, headed out there to an old rock prayer altar. And preacher, it done something in my soul. I said, "God, you wanting us to do this every Sunday, ain't you?" And God began to speak to my heart. And today, while I'm here in Georgia, this morning, they done put my name in. We got a little slot in that thing. We can drop prayer requests down in it like a wishing well. But we ain't wishing. We're praying to a holy God. And this morning, while I was here, there was a crowd gathered round with tears dropping on an old rock altar. You know what's going to help us have revival? You know what's going to change our churches? You know what's going to change our land? We're going to have to get back to an altar in our life. Noah built an altar, amen. I see the dedication of the believer. You know, when your dedication starts slipping, it's because you've started slipping from the altar. You get saved, and then after a few years, you get over it. I've got an old boy that's my friend. He's not a member of my church, but the old boy, before he got saved, was an alcoholic. He was a drunkard. He's a little old skinny, wiry fella. Most unusual fella you've ever met. But he was a drunkard most of his life. He drove a truck for a living. I've heard him give his testimony. He said, "Preacher, there's a lot of days I drove a truck intoxicated." He said, "I was so low one day, I robbed my little girl's piggy bank to go buy beer. He said, that's how low I was. The old boy got saved. He can tell you to this day right now how many days, how many hours, and up to the minute of when he got saved. He can tell you how much money he saved by not buying beer since he's been saved. The old boy called me here a while back on a Saturday. He said, hey, preacher, I ain't talked to you in a while. I said, hey, Dean, how you doing, buddy? He said, I'm doing good, preacher. He said, I had something I want to ask you. I said, what's that? He said, I've had something on my mind. He said, it's coming up on 20 years since I've been saved. And he said, I got something on my mind. And he said, I'm wanting to do something. He said, people all the time having birthday parties. He said, they have birthday parties all the time. And he said, I got to thinking, it's my 20th spiritual birthday. He said, I done talked to the preacher at the church. Won't know if I could have a service on a Saturday night. Get some singing in and some testified and want your choir to come. I want to have a party to celebrate my 20 years of being saved by the grace of God. Some of y'all said, that's the craziest thing I ever heard. Yeah, and let me tell you something right now. If you'd get back on an altar, you might decide to have one yourself. I'm talking about somebody hadn't got over it. Somebody still is amazed that God would reach down and pick up an old sinner, an old drunkard, amen, and pull him out of the mire and out of the pit, hallelujah, and set his feet on a rock. Thank God, hallelujah, for an altar, amen. I see the dedication of the believer. Number two, I see the due given to the beloved. After Noah built an altar, he did something on that altar. The Bible said he took of all the clean beast and all the clean fowl and he offered them as a sacrifice on that altar. Say, preacher, what's so special about that? I got to thinking about that. Now, if Noah had been and his wife had been members of Baptist Church, his wife would probably said, now, honey, we're going to need them clean beasts. Them unclean ones ain't no use to us. Can't we offer one of them?
Yeah, right.
That second best stuff.
Right.
Let's just, some of them that ain't no use, we can't benefit from them unclean ones.
Right.
Let's offer some of them. But Noah said, no, we're going to offer the clean beasts. And sometimes I appreciate when people give of what they have to God. I appreciate every gift, great or small. I've had people to church that's given great gifts to help the work there. And I appreciate that so much. But what I really appreciate is those who give out of a limited ability. It's one thing to give God a cow if you've got 100 head. But Noah didn't have 100 head of cattle on the ark. He's got a limited number. I mean, it's one thing to give God something if you've got a surplus. But God's had to build an ark just to get these that are here ready to be sacrificed. You think about how God prepared and preserved those animals just to get off of the ark and die. I'm talking about they gave of their limited ability. Let me tell you something right now. If you wait till you get a whole lot to give something to God, you'll never give nothing. Some of the greatest blessings I ever get in my ministry is from little old people. I've got an old boy that Brother Bowman used to work for Pepsi-Cola. I used to work in the supermarket business many years ago, 17 years, for the Harris Teeter supermarket chain located mostly in North Carolina and South Carolina. But I worked for them for 17 years. And when I did, I got to know all them old boys, them, the Pepsi boys and the Coke boys that run them routes. And there was an old boy that run a Coke route that came in the store there. And I used to just witness to him and everything. His name was Charlie. And after God called me to preach, and I pastored for two or three years. I pastored the church and worked the job because it was just a small church and they couldn't support a pastor full time. But as the church began to grow and I just felt that lead, I said, God, I got to be full-time in this thing.
And I quit the job, so I'd lost contact with a lot of those people that I've known from days gone by. And this old boy, you never know the impact you're leaving on people's lives when you just live for Christ every day in front of them. Hadn't heard from this old boy in probably 15 years. Last year he called me on the phone. When I answered it, this old boy, I used to aggravate him. That's when the Coca-Cola company, about that time that product came out called Country Time Lemonade. And I used to aggravate that old boy. I said, that Country Time Lemonade is going to put y'all out of business. And he'd laugh about that. He got so he called me Country Time. Every time he'd see me, he'd say, hey, Country Time, how you doing? And I hadn't heard from him in 15 years. Phone rang one day, I'm out at the house, and I pick it up. And all of a sudden, I said, hello. He said, is that you, Country Time? 15 years. I said, yeah, Charlie, it is. I said, man, how you doing? I said, I hadn't heard from you in 15 years. He said, well, preacher, he said, I don't know if you heard, but I'd heard this. He'd got a debilitating disease, and he's a muscle disease, and he's an invalid now. He's shut in. He can't get out. He can't do anything. And he called me that day, and he said, preacher, he said, I'm sitting here at the house, and he said, I've been sick. He said, I hear you're doing real good down at the church. He said, I hear you're getting a lot of people saved in. I said, I ain't getting near as many saved as I'd like to, Charlie. He said, well, what am I doing? I don't want to aggravate you long. He said, I'm sitting here making out my funeral plans. And he said, I wondered, would you help preach my funeral when I die? 15 years, hadn't seen him. I said, Charlie, I'd do anything I could to help you, buddy. But I said, I don't want to think like that. But I said, he said, I just want to write everything down so that they know when I die what's going to take place. And he said, I want you to help in my funeral. I said, yeah, buddy, I'll be glad to help any way I can. He said, all right, thank you. And he hung up the phone. That's all he did. Next month I got a little letter in the mail. I get it. Matter of fact, like clockwork now, Brother Bowman, I'm talking about these little people. Every month I get a letter from this man. On the top it'll have my name right above it. It'll have CT, Country Time, on that letter. I get another little letter every month. There's a little lady in our town. I've known her for many, many years. Always been sickly. Some of the poorest people I know in our community. Good people, love God, but they've just always been sick and poor. And matter of fact, she sends me a little letter each month. Her name's Dorothy, and I'll get that little letter in this little old scraggly writing. You can't hardly read her writing. And every month, matter of fact, I brought one of them little letters with me. I've got a stack of these on my desk. It comes like clockwork every month. Every month, Brother Bowman. And I don't know if you can see this or not, but that's the little letter I get every month. Just a few lines each month. Every month I get a letter like that. I've got a stack of them. And this one says something to the effect, Dear Brother Leonard, hope all is well. Please pray for Gail. She's been real sick. Tell all hello for me. And then says, hope this will help, ? And every month, like clockwork, in this little letter, I'll open it up and there'll be $2 $1 bills. $2 every month, like clockwork. When I open that letter up, it's always two little dollar bills in there. When I open Charlie's up, they ain't even no letter in it. I open it up and every month in that envelope will be a $5 bill. Every month, preacher. I've got another old boy that writes me once a month that's in prison. And every month, like clockwork, he'll send a cashier's check and he'll say, preacher, this is my tithe from where I've been working out here in the prison. Said, would you put it in the offering plate? One of these days I hope to get out of here and put it in myself. And it'd be about $10 in a cashier's check. I thought he's tithing more than some people that sit on pews and he's behind prison bars. And every month, them little people, like clockwork, I'll go in and on my desk will be them three little old letters. And a lot of times you say, preacher, why in the world are you telling us about that? $2 and $5 won't even fill up your gas tank. No, but it'll work wonders for an encouragement tank.
There's been a lot of times when it seemed like the powers of hell have camped out about me. A lot of times when it seemed like I couldn't make it. And I'd walk in and I'd see that little army of people out there. They don't have much to give. They don't have a lot to offer. But they're giving out of their limited ability. How you? I'm glad, praise God, there's a God. He's a God of revival. And we ought to give Him the best we have. Amen. I see the dedication of the believer. I see the due given the beloved. And number three, I see the delight of the blessing. In this story, I want you to notice this. How many times have you ever come to the house of God with this prayer on your lips? Lord, would you pour out a blessing on us today? Lord, send something down to us today. Lord, just, I need you to send me something. I need something from you today. That's a prayer all of us have prayed. You may have even prayed it today. Lord, would you send something from heaven and touch us in that service today? Nothing wrong with praying that. Matter of fact, we need to pray that. But I want you to notice how the blessing worked in this story. God didn't send nothing down from heaven. But the Bible said when Noah offered a sacrifice, he sent something up. You see, at this point in time, there's not a little group of people in South America and a little group in Russia and a little group in China and a little group in the Philippines. And at that time on the planet, there's only 8 living human beings. And the Bible said God smells something. Something took place on this planet that reached heaven and got God's attention. The Bible said He smelled something. And I want you to notice, it blessed God so, He said some things in His heart. Now, I could say something in my heart today and you'd never know about it. But if I get blessed so much in my heart, I can't keep it in. And God said in His heart what the Bible said. But He got blessed so by what Noah was doing, He said, I got to write it down and tell somebody about it. That as long as earth remains, there's going to be seed time and harvest. There's going to be hot and cold. Some of y'all, praise God, get a hold of this. It'll help you today. I'm glad, praise God. I like how the blessing worked in this spot. It wasn't God sending something down, but it was a little man that was thankful that God had brought him through a terrible storm and that God had saved him and preserved his family. And Noah said, I got to give something back. I've got to send something your way. I've got to do something for you, God. Hallelujah to His name. Have you ever thought about what you could do to be a blessing to the heart of God? There's been a lot of times, boy, He's blessed me. More times than not, He's poured out something on me, preacher. But every now and then, I just want to strike a little match down here and say, God, this ain't much. But I hope it'll be a blessing to your heart today. Sometimes I feel so little to stand up, preacher, to try to sing and try to preach. Brother, he asked me, he said, Brother Ken said he met us on that cruise and they got all them gospel groups on there singing. And brother asked me, he said, were y'all on there singing? I said, no, brother. I said, we just little old church singers. We're not professional. We're not that good. We understand that. But every time we stand up, we're just striking a little match. We ain't worried about the applause of men and we ain't worried about all that. We're just trying to send something back to the one that's been so good to us. We're just trying to say, God, here we are. And if you can get anything out of us, use us, God. Hallelujah to His name. I'm glad to tell you today there's a God of revival. Amen. Hey, what we ought to do is today say, God, would you help me? Would you use me? Would you give me something that I can do for you to bring honor and glory unto your name? Sometimes we think we do so little, but yet, can you imagine how it might bless the heart of God? was telling you about my old buddy that wanted to have the birthday party, spiritual birthday party. He's an unusual character. After he got saved, he told me, he said, "Preacher, I wanted to do something for God so bad I couldn't stand it." He said, "But I can't sing." He said, "I can't play an instrument. I can't preach. I can't teach." He said, "I said, I want to do something for God." He said, "Preacher, I was out one day and I'd been deer hunting. I was out and I was coming back through an old pasture field that where some old cows had been." And he said, "Preacher, I was walking through there and them old cows had been stomping around the mud. And I looked and there's something stuck in the mud." And he said, "I got my knife out and said, I dug it out. I'm all time collecting junk and stuff." And he said, "I looked and it was an old rusty cowbell that had fell off one of the cow's necks." And he said, "I didn't think nothing about it. I put it in my backpack and took it back to the house, set it up in the garage." And he said, "I was there at the house one day and said, I was praying. Lord, I can't sing. I can't carry a tune in the bucket. I don't know the first thing about playing an instrument." He said, "I can't preach and I can't teach. But Lord, I'd sure like to do something for you." And he said, "I walked out there in the garage and said, I looked up there on the shelf. There sat that old cowbell and said, the Holy Spirit began to speak to his heart and said, Dean, that old bell's a lot like you when I found you. You was down in the mud. And I come and dug you out." And he said, "I thought I'm going to clean that old bell up." And he said, "I got it down, got an old water hose and started getting that old dried, hard mud all out of the inside of it." He said, "I was running that water." He said, "The Holy Spirit said, Dean, that's exactly what I done to you when I found you in the mud. He said, I cleaned you up on the outside and on the inside." He began to think. He said, "You know," he said, "Lord, I wish there's something I could do to you." He said, then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit said, "Dean, you don't have to have no lessons to play a cowbell." First time I ever met the old boy, we were sitting on the front row in a church. I didn't know him. He was right beside me. They was having a gospel singing. The Spencer from up in Ohio years ago was there singing, and there was kind of a lull in the singing. And all of a sudden, the old boy hit the floor and began to testify, kind of like some of y'all did today. And he's a testifying man, high octane testifying. And I looked, he had a brown paper bag in his hand. I didn't know this guy. I thought, man, this guy's a nut. He'll kill us all. He got a gun, no doubt. I didn't know. I mean, I'm just here, man. You get a building full of diesel sniffers in there, come to hear a gospel singing. Half of them wouldn't walk across the road to hear preaching, amen. Now, I love gospel singing, don't get me wrong. But praise God, there's a lot of folks following buses all over this country that won't darken the doors of a local church. He's a testifying. He said, "I can't do nothing. I can't do much. I was an alcoholic. I got saved at such and such day. It's been that. I've saved this much money since I've been saved." He said, "But I found something I can do." He pulled that old cowbell out. He went to ringing that thing. And they went to shouting all over the building. I'm talking about the power and the glory of God came in that place. Let me tell you something right now. It may not be what you think. It may be something little. But God can get glory if you'll give out of your limited ability. Amen. See, the due given the beloved, dedication of the believer, and I see the decreed benefit last of all today. This happened when Noah got off the ark. God said in his heart, as long as earth remains now, I'm not going to destroy it like I have. I'm not going to destroy man like I have this time. He said, I'm going to put some laws in nature that's going to be in effect. Generations of people will come and go, but this is going to stay the same. Seed time and harvest. I've seen revivals that broke out and last a little while. I've heard of meetings going 16, 18 weeks. Great moves of God. But here's a revival that started that's still going today. If you don't believe it, walk out there and look at them beautiful flyers out there. It's still going. And I thought about we're the beneficiaries. Every time we look at the beautiful nature God's given us, it reminds us that He is a God whose nature is one of revival. If God will revive His creation, I believe He'll revive His children. Sometimes I'll be driving to revival meeting, be out in a country church somewhere, and drive past a field full of cattle. I feel like shouting. Yes, sir.
Why, preacher? They ain't, none of them belongs to you. I'll tell you why you can shout over a field full of cattle that don't belong to you. It's because you know where they came from. I said, they're having a revival over in that field. Look yonder. I'm talking about a God that give us a promise of revival. He said, I'm going to do it in nature, and I want them to understand that if I'll do it in nature, I'll do it among my children. We're going to have to find us an altar. We're going to have to find that place and give everything, give the best we have to God. And I'm glad He'll send revival to us. I don't know how to end this, but what I think I'm going to do, I want to sing that song, youngins. If youngins will come back. I want to sing that song. This is the first time I've ever preached a message and God gave me a song with the message. Ain't that something? Ain't that something how that works? I was driving, I was going to preach this message, and these words, I said, Lord, help me. I've got to write this down. And I don't know about you, you might need a touch from God today. You might need His hand on your life. You may have come through a storm of epic proportions. You say, preacher, I don't know where we're going to begin. I don't know how to start anew. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I've got news today. There's a God that's a God of revival. You're here today and you're not even saved. Today would be a day you can start anew with Him. God can help you today.